when everybody wants to improve their habits and everything, but I would say before you come out with this grand scheme of what you're going to do, your 60-day plan to change this habit or whatever, take some time to actually, sit down, identify your habits, and then take some time to actually think about why.
Welcome back to another episode of the IC Pixels podcast. This is David.
And this is Anthony.
And we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's the only holiday around now. So it seems like a long time since we've recorded. The last time we recorded was, it seems like it was around Halloween. So
yeah,
we're like on a once a month podcast schedule. So it's, we apologize for that.
Hard living going on. So I don't know. A lot going on, so, but we're back. And this week we're going to talk about,
we're going to talk about habits, yeah, and forming habits and breaking habits and things about habits. So, a couple episodes ago, I know when we were talking about starting new jobs, you had mentioned that, your new employer basically wanted you to read a book about habits. So, have you finished it?
Yes, I finally finished it. They gave us 2 weeks to finish it, and I finished it about a week ago. I'm almost been there 3 months, but that's beside the point. But yeah, they wanted us to finish it in the first 2 weeks, but yeah, it didn't happen quite.
So,
but I've learned how to form habits now, so
I have the same book. When we talked about it last time, I picked it up. I was like, yeah, I'm going to read this. I put it in my car. I'm not sure why I did that. At the time, sometimes for lunch, I would just go sit in my car and, mess around on my phone or whatever. So I was like, when I go to lunch, I can sit in my car and read this book. I read a couple pages in the beginning, like when I first started out, but since then, it's basically been sitting in my passenger seat collecting dust. And today I was actually cleaning out my car and checking on some other problems with my car. And I saw the book again and it reminded me of it, but I haven't actually read any of it. So this may be a little bit of a one-sided conversation, but let's talk about what you learned or whatever, how the book applies to your life.
Well, I mean, like we said, the book is called The Power of Habits by Charles Duhigg. The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and in Business. So it starts out talking about we're going to go chapter by chapter. That's what we're going to do. Just really dig in. It starts off talking about somebody who lost memory and how they had, they had some kind of bacteria or something that grew in their brain and it made them lose their memory. Or parts of their memory. And I mean, they were still kind of the same person, but they couldn't remember things after a certain year, basically. And every few moments, it was like they'd eat breakfast multiple times a day, things like that. And because they would forget that they ate breakfast already. So just get up and eat breakfast, make breakfast again and stuff like that. Forget, things like that. And what they were talking about is how even though you maybe lose part of your short-term memory or not be able to hold on to any kind of memory after a certain period of time, your brain is still able to follow the form habits. Mm-hmm. Even if you're not aware, consciously aware of your brain is causing a habit, because this guy, he would go out on walks and somehow find his way back. Mm-hmm. But if anything changed, like somebody got a new mailbox or there was a stick lying on a sidewalk or something like that, he would get lost. And he wouldn't be able to find his way back, because if there was any kind of change, it's something with the brain. Like, he would be able to find his way to the bathroom, all that kind of stuff, without a problem, even after he moved to another house. But he could not tell you how to do it. Mm-hmm. And so they were just talking about how your brain forms these things, even if you're not aware of it, consciously aware of it. It's just kind of based on actions. Which is what, I mean, that's how we start off. And the whole book is kind of talking about the different things that you do, your actions that you can adjust to, positively impact your life, or the things that happen that you know, negatively impact your life that you don't even realize are a habit and that can get out of control.
I know I've read somewhere about like people with Alzheimer's disease, because we actually had an aunt who, I believe she had Alzheimer's or something. She had memory problems of some sort. But,
or was it sometimers?
Yeah, joke. But she, I remember because I used to visit her a lot, and like she would tell the same story sometimes or a lot. But other than that, it wasn't noticeable that she was having memory problems. But one summer, she actually got in a car accident. It was like a minor fender bender, but like she had to go to the hospital or whatever. They make sure she was okay. They brought her home, and that threw off our whole pattern. And then after that, it became more evident that she had a memory problem because, you know, her car got damaged, so she had to take it to the shop to get it fixed and, you know, dealing with the insurance and all this other stuff. And it was just a whole lot of new stuff. And then as a result of that, basically, I guess they moved her to stay with her son or something like that. Either way, it was like progressively downhill from there because it's like a whole new environment. So it's like, where did everything go? Like everything changes. So like your habits won't get you through. It's just like instincts. You know, if you have basic like animal instincts or whatever, those will get you by to some point. But then there are some situations where like just following your instincts just isn't going to work. And when things change drastically, like if you put a snail or a fish on a piece of paper outside the water, their instinct to swim is not going to help them, you know?
Yeah.
That was weird, but yeah.
Yeah, unless it's one of those fish that can crawl on land.
Oh, yeah, land, you know, fish, yeah.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know.
No. You know what I'm talking about, though, right?
No.
I forget what they're called. It's, I think they're called scuttlefish or something like that, but they can crawl out of... Anyway, whatever. It's neither here nor there. But, yeah, so, I mean, it was interesting. I mean, it, other things that they talked about in the book, I mean, some of the things they're talking about, the way companies use habits, like Target, like figuring out... It's kind of creepy, like they would figure out how... basically how their shoppers interacted, and one of the main things they were trying to figure out is how basically be the first person to know, even before they have told their family, that a woman is pregnant. And that was one of their goals, and they were using statistics and, like, you know, analyzing things to figure that out. And they're talking about how, like, basically they're using people's habits and to, you know people sign up for a card or whatever else in the store, and then they're able to track everything you do. And so they, you know, they use that to, you know, creepily figure out people were pregnant. And they told a story about how they did that because they, when they find out somebody's pregnant or expecting a child, even if it's like really early before they told their family, they were trying to send them ads already, you know, because they, their theory was like, if we get them in the store, if you get a family to start going to a store even before they're, you know, have the baby, then they're going to shop there for everything else when they, after they have the baby.
And they're going
to
sign up for their registry there and all the other stuff.
Yeah, because they're already in the store. They're not, they don't have time to be going around, driving around to multiple stores. They're just going to go to that one store and get everything they need and be done with it. So that, I mean, so that's their goal. They told a story of how, I mean, they were sending out ads to this girl, and her dad came in the store mad because it's like, why is my, you know, daughter getting these ads for her baby, for diapers? Like, it's like you're trying to force her to have a kid or whatever. And the person at the store, of course, didn't know how to react to that. And then come to find out, the guy came back and apologized and was like, I'm sorry, I talked to my daughter and I didn't know what was going on in my house. So, yeah, so his, yeah, his daughter was out here, you know, getting it popping, and he didn't know, but Target knew, which can scare people. So it was talking about how they still do that, but they throw an ad for a lawnmower in there too, so that you just will look at it and be like, oh,
so you're not scared.
They're just pushing diapers. It's not, you know, it's not me. So, yeah, no, it was interesting how they do that. And just another aspect of it, they were talking about how when you walk, first walk into a grocery store, where's the fruit?
It's usually on the edge. I mean, like on the side to the right or to the left. I don't know.
It's usually to the right.
Okay.
Some stores have kind of played with that, because if I think about it, depending
like
on...
Some Walmarts are on the left.
Walmarts, they put it on the left, which is kind of weird. Because every other store, you're going into a... a lot of stores, it's on the right. Because they said they did a study, and most people, when they walk into the store, they turn right. automatically without even thinking about it. So, which is kind of interesting because, yeah, I know when I do go in Walmart, it's on the left. It is kind of like a weird thing.
But again,
like,
I think that this kind of applies to habits because, like, most Walmarts you go in are set up the same way. There's a few I've gone in where, you know, the space was different or whatever. But most Walmarts I've gone in, you know, the food and stuff is to the left. To the right is like sporting goods and the lawn center and TLE and all that type of stuff. And then the middle is always kind of the same. Like, whatever's in the middle. I don't go in Walmart often. But, like, because the setup's the same, I can go to almost any Walmart and then kind of know where I'm going in general. In turn, you know, electronics is in the back.
You got to figure it out.
The back wall, like that type of stuff. So it's not like I have to. And I think that is useful. That has a lot of applications to design because, like, I know in one of our last episodes we were talking about, like, designing websites where you try and, you know, break the mold and I'm going to do something cutting edge and different. But you're playing against people's habits, and so it's going to be confusing and troublesome for the user the first time. So it's easier to, in terms, especially for something where people need to use it, it's easier to just kind of play along with people's habits. And I think that's also kind of why, like, a lot of like phone interfaces and app interfaces and stuff like that, a lot of them are very, very similar. It's not that easy to come up with something super, super different that's going to work well, because people kind of already figured it out. And so they're used to, they have habits in terms of how they're going to interact with things. They're used to the little hamburger menu at the top, meaning, like, this is where you get to all of the options or whatever. You know, they're used to those types of things. And so it's hard to do something drastically different and expect people to figure it out easily.
Yeah, you have to find a way to, you kind of just subtly do something different. Yeah. Just not change their whole experience, but something isn't where they thought it was going to be. And then they're like, oh, wait a minute. That's different, you know. Yeah. and you know, it just so that that way it stands out, but you don't want to change the whole experience because then they're just confused. If you walk in a store right now and the produce was at the back of the store, would you know how to find the produce?
I mean, they should have signs and stuff like that, but a drastic change like that would throw people off. So I think that's another part of it, is like people get dependent on their habits and don't read or think anymore as much.
Yeah.
It's not an anymore thing. I'm not going to say it's like, oh, this generation. But, like, you become dependent on your habits. And so you're like, oh, I'll just Google it. Oh, but.
Yeah, that's a natural thing.
The internet's not working. How do I find out something? I don't know.
Your brain wants to do the least work, and it's going to find the shortest way to do something. So it's going to depend on those habits. So it's not even like like you said, it's not a generational thing. It's just your brain is going to always try to find the most efficient way to do something. And so that it can use that energy for other things. Because thinking is hard work on your body. It burns a lot of calories. Yeah. So that's why you got to take breaks even if you're just sitting at a computer.
I read this book called Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow by Daniel Kahneman, I think his name was. But anyway, he talks about that, like, your brain, like, if you're presented with a decision, there's two parts of your brain. There's a part of brain that can actually think and figure things out, and it works hard, but it's lazy. And then there's another part of your brain that's kind of more instinctual and just comes up with the quickest, easiest answer that your brain is happy with. And that's kind of exactly what we're talking about today. It's like that quick response part of your brain that doesn't have to work hard and responds quickly, that's what's going to, you know, kind of provide you answers when you're thinking about stuff. And then if you get in a situation where someone says, well, you know, what's 27 times 74 or something like that, where you actually have to think, then you're like, oh, all right, let me turn on the computer and figure this out.
I'd have to actually, you'd have to train your brain to be able to do that on the fly kind of thing.
Yeah, but I mean, that's why they tell you, like, in elementary school, memorize your times tables, because once you've committed that to memory, you don't have to really think about it. It's just like, oh, the 3 times 10 is 30. I just know that.
Yeah, it's like this sheet where I had to do all these math problems, and they were, like, really easy, but it just trained my brain to, like, you know, knock these things out. And I mean, I might still able to use it. It was, like, simple stuff or whatever, but it's still, I find myself still using the same kind of tools that I used to finish that cheat. Mm-hmm. Like, all of those problems, it's the same thing.
Yep. So, aside from, like, the nature of habits, did the book also talk about forming habits or breaking habits?
It had a couple of stories about that. about how people use certain things to create or, you know, modify a habit. There's one thing he was talking about is people that are a lot of times that are addicts, how it, you have to find the thing once. I'm trying to think exactly how to word it. They did a lot better. I mean, if they, you read the book, than the way I would explain it. But it's usually one little thing that you can modify. It's like a, I forgot what they called it, but it's like a, like almost like a key habit or something like that. The essence of like a habit. That's, this isn't what they said, but this is the way I'm interpreting it. It's like the essence of the habit, not like I'm going to stop eating cookies every night, but it's more like, why do you want cookies every night?
Yeah.
Like, are you craving something sweet? Like, as I gave an example of somebody, I guess it was the author of the book. He was talking about how every day at a certain time, he would go to the cafeteria and buy a cookie. And he was doing it all the time. And of course, it's not good for you for, you know, multiple reasons. You spend it, you know, just, it's not a, it's a problem. And what he did to modify that was, instead of going to buy a cookie, he was like, okay, let me try something. Instead of going to buy a cookie, I'm going to set a timer at this time of the day. I'm going to go, like, it's say 3 o'clock. Instead of going to the cafeteria and buying a cookie, I'm going to go outside. Or, and then another day, you try, you, one day you go outside. The next day, you do go to the cafeteria, but you get something else, not a cookie. Then another day, you just go and talk to the coworker for a while. And that way you can narrow down. Like, if, you know, if you go outside and you still want a cookie after going outside, then okay, well, this is maybe more about sweets and not just you needed a break. You know, if it's like, okay, well, you need a social interaction. So if you went and talked to your friend for a while and you didn't want a cookie, then it's like, oh, okay, well, that's actually what I want. I don't care about the cookie. I just need an excuse to go get up and go talk to somebody. So he said he set a timer, and like every day he would go. He discovered that that's what he really needed, was like, not to, you know, get a cookie, but it was to some kind of social interaction. So he'd get up and go talk to a friend for 10 minutes every day at like 3 o'clock. And that's what he did. And if he didn't do it, he felt a sense of like he didn't accomplish anything that day, because it was like, I didn't go talk to somebody at this time, this set time, to, you know, stopping and doing it at. So basically, you know, and some, and when he couldn't find anybody to talk to, then he would go to cafeteria and eat, get something else, but not a cookie. So it basically addressed the essence of the problem, which was not that he needs to stop eating cookies every day, but it's like, okay, well, you need, you're craving something.
Yeah, you need to do something and to distract yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know in most of the office jobs I've ever worked, there's been some similar type of thing, like around 2:33 in the afternoon. Either we would all gather, we'd go to somebody's desk and just talk about random stuff and not be doing work, or you'd be like, my friend would come over and like, hey, I'm going to CVS, you want to grab something? And we all, well, it was more about the social interaction, or just, hey, I'm getting sleepy, I need to talk to somebody so I don't fall asleep. But it became a habit to go, like, because a lot of people I work with at one of my previous jobs, they'd always go to Starbucks. I'm not a coffee person because I like to keep my money, but in the morning around like maybe 9:30-ish, it was Starbucks time, so everybody would go to Starbucks. And then after lunch around 2:33, everyone would go to Starbucks. And I don't think everyone needed the coffee, but I imagine over time, like you talked about, it became like they would feel sleepy because they were used to doing, it was a habit now that I get coffee this time. Not that I needed coffee this time.
Just, and caffeine is addictive also. So.
Yeah. But that's interesting. Because I think a lot of people don't think about like habits in that way. They're just like, oh, I need to stop doing this, and then they don't replace it with something else, or they don't get to the root of the problem, and they don't, it's not easy to fix.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why people don't, you know, I mean, a lot of people fall back on it. Like people, you know, your New Year's resolutions or whatever, it's like, well, you haven't trained yourself to be able to maintain any kind of habit like that. I mean, it's something I discovered, like, you know, being consistent with going to the gym or something like that, then it allows you to create other habits easier, because you know, your mind knows how to create these habits now. I mean, and a lot of it is, you know, follow through, especially on days when you don't want to do it, and, you know, really sticking to that. I mean, there's things I'm trying to for myself, I'm not somebody that is like, you know, super like organized and all that kind of stuff all the time. And I'm practicing setting reminders for myself because that way, and sticking to it, that way I can modify that. Even if it's not, you know, I'm not somebody that's ever going to be what you would call like, you know, super, you know, anal type person or anything like that, or type A. I'm never going to be that person. But I mean, I don't, and that's not my goal, but it is a goal to like, okay, well, I can change this. And so that I can, you know, positively improve my life in this way or whatever, you know, or plan for things or things like that. If I can just try to stick to some of these things instead of just thinking about them all the time. So
makes sense. So, out of what you learned from the book, was there anything that you would apply to yourself as a designer, aside from like, you know, being organized and that type of stuff?
Well, you mean as far as like my work, what I would do?
Or do you have any bad habits as a designer? Because that's something else I was going to talk about. I'll go ahead and answer the question for myself. I found myself, I can a lot of times get stuck kind of like in a design rut where I will sometimes, it can be if I spend too much time looking at someone else's work or whack design or whatever, then I can find myself kind of mimicking what I've seen unintentionally. And so I don't know if that's a habit. It may just be me. I need to stop looking at certain things or whatever. But there's that. And then I say one of my bad habits is that, and we've talked about this on the show before, on the podcast before, is just sometimes I just get into the software too quickly before I sketch. And so I have not made any effort to break that habit. it is something I should do, but I just haven't tried at all. But that's something definitely that's one of my major bad habits, I would say, because I could save a lot of time by doing that.
I mean, is that a habit?
Yeah, it's a habit. Well, that, I mean, you know, it's time to design. Let's open Photoshop. Or let's open Illustrator instead of let me sketch something.
Yeah. I mean, well, what would you say is the root of that? Like,
I don't know. I think part of me just wants to, you know, I enjoy doing design and stuff, so sometimes I feel like, I guess on some level, down in my subconscious or something, I feel like the sketching process is not going to help me that much. And so I'm like, screw that. I'm going to just get to, you know, I have an idea. I'm going to get to it.
It's like an impatient type thing. You just want to get past that step.
But, I mean, I know we've talked about this. I think last episode we talked about, like, thinking through, I mean, spending time working out the design as much as you can outside of a tool so that you can determine whether it's going to work or not, so you don't waste a bunch of time in a tool. Because I've definitely spent a lot of time in Photoshop or in Illustrator or InDesign or whatever the tool is, working on a design that if I had maybe sketched it out, I wouldn't have even attempted. I would have just been like, that's not going to work. Let's try something different.
Yeah, and you're not messing with the tools and Photoshop and all that. I mean, I would say, because I've had to do that recently, because I couldn't do anything to the website yet that I was working on for work. So I had to do it in other programs. I mean, or do it on paper. Or actually, I started drawing it on a whiteboard, which is very efficient because it's, you know, it's bigger than paper. And, you know, I can use all kind of mad colors and stuff and sketch it really quick. And I can see it. And it looks impressive when people walk in and they look at it and like, oh, he's working, you know. I mean, it's helped me. I think it's really helped me think through, because I mean, I was so used to going, you know, this needs to be done, you know, yesterday. So I gotta go. So it's a lot of skipping that step. It's like, okay, well, let me just get to it because I don't have time to really put thought into it. But it has been me being able now, like, I wasn't able to do anything. I had to take time to think about it. And I've kind of now realized, like, man, that's really, I can see that being more important to me. The thought process that goes through it, I'm able to come up with something better. The decisions I make are you know, they're more thought out. It's not just like, well, let me just do this because somebody else designed it like this, so I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, I think,
you know, it's allowing me to make something that's
not basic. So I think that habit has been formed somewhat out of necessity. You know, if all your assignment, all your work is coming in last minute and quick turnaround. Because, again, like we talked about, I feel like we constantly reference old podcasts, but like the money thing, like if I'm not charging enough money, then I'm gonna want to finish things as soon as possible. And if I want to finish things as soon as possible, I don't need to draw or sketch things out because I just need to get this done as soon as possible, get my money, and keep it moving. And then that forms the bad habit of not taking the time to think your ideas out and sketch things out. Because I know there's a lot of things I've done where the money was short and I produced a bad design, but it was like, well, I spent the amount of time I can. Here, customer, good luck. And a lot of times the customer was okay with it, but I know it was a bad design, and it's not going to go in my portfolio. But what can I do about that?
Yeah, it ends up keeping you in a rut where your portfolio never improves. I mean, unless you're doing something outside of that for yourself, which, you know, when you're doing everything for money and you got to turn around constantly, you don't have much time to do anything just for yourself. And yeah, your work suffers. You don't actually, you know, you can't actually look at your stuff and be like, oh, I've improved over time, which is scary. And it's something that I've been dealing with because having to do a lot of stuff. I mean, I haven't been able to like paint as much as I would like to. And I can't look at, you know, over the last year, the stuff I've done, I can't look at it and be like, oh, this is definitely better than what I was doing last year. I can't look at it and say that. Which is, you know, that's frustrating. Because, you know, you want constant improvement and, you know, sometimes that habit of reacting to everything instead of, like, actually, you know, consciously doing things. Which, I mean, it's something you got to do sometimes. That's just life. It happens sometimes. You got to react to things and, you know, you just got to survive sometimes. But, you know, eventually you're not actually learning anything. You're just surviving.
Yep. Well, another kind of design habit I would say I've unfortunately formed is listening too carefully to like customers' design ideas. So what I would say to explain is like a customer needs something, whatever it is, and they come to you with their idea of how it should be implemented. And, you know, they may even say, hey, well, whatever your idea is, I'd like to know what your idea is, too. But a lot of times, again, it goes back to time and money and all that type of stuff. I'm just like, all right, well, I'll just reproduce whatever you ask me for. And because it's easier and I don't have to think. And so sometimes I won't even bother to think about what they're trying to do and improve it. And then sometimes it's I wouldn't say it's come back to bite me, but it's come back to bite the customer where in the end, I'm coming back to them later like, oh, well, yeah, we can improve this or we should do this way. And I'm kind of contradicting something I may have told them to do earlier because now further down the line, I have more time. I'm like, oh, well, that was a bad idea. I should have, you know, some of these things are situations where I should have stopped and or, you know, kind of intervened and prevented the customer from doing something they shouldn't have done. But I didn't.
Yeah, because you're just trying to get done with it. And you figure like they're not paying me to actually.
So I think all that is kind of all one habit wrapped in the one. I'm trying to think if there's any other design bad habits I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I mean, as I think about it, a lot of habits I would have are based on that of just that. Rush, you know, because I was thinking it's like, you know, I could, you know, take the time to name my layers, but I don't have time to do that. I mean, there are things, you know, that I could do, you know, organizationally just to make things better, like, you know, all right, well, you know, create folders in your inbox. When you get a new company email before it gets out of hand, create some folders. That way, you know, it's just not like a large stream of things and then that you have to deal with later. I mean, I guess that's the habit that I have is like putting things off for future me to handle.
Yeah, that's something
which can happen in design too. It's like, all right, I mean, well, because it's something I'm working on now. Like, it's the, you know, I've deadline for create this website for the company, and, you know, all these things, a lot of things are changing on it, changing the design, the, you know, the link structure, all kinds of stuff. And in the process of, you know, going through it and creating this, you know, this structure, this new structure, new menu, new, all, you know, all these new pages and all this kind of stuff, and rearranging old content, there are things that get left in the, that, you know, at the moment, you know, it's like, well, I can't do this right now. I'm going to come back to this because, like, okay, well, I'm going to have to update these links. They're going to be different, so I'm not going to do those right now. But the habit I realized I was not going to be able to live with or would severely regret in the future is just thinking that I will just remember all of these things that I need to do. I mean, I wouldn't say I have a bad memory. It's just an organized memory that just does... remembers what it wants.
Yeah.
So it, you know, I mean, that's something you can train your brain to do or whatever. So, but so I mean, I one thing I on the whiteboard that I have is after I erased the all the website drawings I did, I have like all these lists of things that I do, and I'm, you know, actively practicing using some of these, you know, all these apps that they have for taking notes and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Actively trying to use that stuff so that, you know, it doesn't catch up with me, because that is not, you know, like, I don't want those problems in the future.
Yeah,
know? I'm just, you know, it's like, oh, this is launched and these links are broken, you know.
I think I have a similar problem where I know that I should be more organized, like you talked about naming layers and using folders and Photoshop and stuff, like, and an email. I know that I should be more organized, but a lot of times when I have the free time to spend organizing, I don't, or I'll do something else. So I don't know why I'm not more organized, because I completely know I should do it, and I completely know that it would help me in some things. Like, yeah, I mean, but it's, yeah, it's fun. Like, I got to name all these layers. But look, I want to just finish this cool design and get it to the customer and get that feedback.
As a creative person, that, like, organizing things... yeah. Gives us no pleasure. You know, it's like, okay, right, that's,
yeah. So one time, you know, I was actually trying to write a tutorial on how to do something and post it on my blog. I have a blog somewhere, but don't worry about that. And it forced me to, because everything worked, and, you know, it was some code I wrote and everything worked and everything, but when I started doing the tutorial, I realized I needed to organize my stuff so that someone else could understand it. I had to write comments in my code. I had to put everything in the proper folders and all that other stuff. So I had to do all this stuff after the fact, and it forced me to change my code a little bit to account for how things were rearranged. And it was like, man, I should have done that from the beginning, because now, you know, I had to use that code several places, and now I'm like, I felt compelled to go back and fix it in every place I'd used it. Not that it was broken, but just it could have been better organized and functioned more betterly-ness too.
Yeah. that's what happened to me, and it's something, I mean, actually active. I mean, I tried to make everything neat and thorough for everybody. It was like sending out a new email signature for company-wide to use, and I sent it out, and I mean, I created a little, you know, documents like, this is how you do it, just copy and paste this or whatever. But then, you know, there were things I had to fix. I ended up having to go back and fix. And I was just like, oh, this is so frustrating. I actually took the time to, you know, make this, you know, easy to understand for everybody. But there's things that I messed up in it. And so now I have to go around and fix it for everybody. And which is kind of frustrating, because it's like, why did that happen? I mean, it you know, it's one I did good with, you know, actually being thorough with that and, you know, making it simple for everybody and, you know, putting thought into it. But then I, you know, kind of shot myself in the leg by not fully, like, making everything was sure everything is perfect. I mean, nobody was mad about it. It was just like, hey, you can fix this for this program, and like, oh, this looks crazy in Outlook and blah blah blah, and, you know, and it's like me running around having to fix everything, which is just not. There's more productive things I could have been doing than doing.
Well, that's
that,
another. But, I'll say that's one of my bad habits. Sometimes is not fully testing things, mainly for web, because that's where it really matters. But like, I'll test things. You know, I have access to Androids and iPads and Apple devices, and, you know, every browser I need. But I don't always test things across every browser. And so I've had to do the same thing, like go back and fix things. Oh, well, it doesn't work here. It doesn't work here. It doesn't work this way. If you click on this, this acts differently. And so that type of stuff. But again, it's like, at least for me, it seems like as a designer, that part is the least interesting part. I don't want to test it. I want to get it out there. So,
yeah.
But it's one of those things. You've got to do one to do the other.
I mean, if you're fortunate, you're in a company that will also have people that can test things. Yeah. I mean, you're not the only one on the team. I mean, that's something. And which, I mean, I understand not testing everything. That breaks up the creative process. If you have to make something, you make something, and then you have to go over here and test it here, and go test it here, and then go test it here, mm-hmm. and you forgot what you were doing. It completely messes up the process, which may be a good reason to, you know, draw things on paper first. But I mean, of course, you have to make modifications because, yeah, I drew all those designs on paper, but the design that we're actually going with is not one that I actually drew. But that's fine. I don't feel like it's anything lost because it's like, well, you know, we worked through the problems, and it was, you know, I didn't have to spend a lot of time coming with this other design. It just came naturally because I'd already thought through everything. But I mean, it's a weird thing as a creative person to try to modify some of those habits, because some of the habits people would think of is like, oh, well, you do this and you definitely test it here every time and blah, blah. Some of these things, they don't gel with
creating. It's worth noting, like, if you're working for a company on a team or something like that, then you'll probably have some manager or creative director or somebody that's going to kind of manage that process and help you form better habits. But if you're working for yourself or by yourself, then it's easy to not have good habits because no one's going to tell you any differently. It's going to be your customer, hopefully, that says something. Or maybe no one says something and you just continue with your bad habits. So I think that's part of why some of my habits maintained, because a lot of the places I worked, I had, you know, you're in a situation where you're the only creative person there, or you're like, your manager doesn't have a clue what you do. I mean, they know what you do, but they don't know anything about it. So they just... when something breaks, they're like, David, what do you do? What should I do? So I think that's the important part. And then, you know,
yeah,
it's important to evaluate yourself periodically and look back at your work and the patterns you've been following and determine, hey, am I doing something that's not getting me where I'm planning to go? You know, am I headed the right direction?
Yeah, I just thought of it. I mean, it may be, you know, in an effort to not break up the creative process, maybe it's a thing that you do mm-hmm. once a day, or at a certain point after you've, you know, designed something or worked through something, you know, I don't know, set a reminder for yourself, or I don't know, whatever you need to do.
And test and all that other stuff.
Yeah, to actually like, okay, now let me test what I did. Like, after I did all that kind of stuff, you know, it's like, you know, I mean, I get off at 4:30, but, you know, so let's say if it was like 4 o'clock, I'm like, okay, set a time for 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Test all this stuff. That way, you know, I know that I've done it. I mean, I didn't interrupt my creative process, but I'm also able to check my check my own work at the end of the day.
So, I think the next thing it'll be worth talking about is kind of how you go about forming a habit or changing a habit, that type of thing. So, I know in the past we've talked about like having a whiteboard and using that to write down like what you need to work on or whatever.
It could be a blackboard also, I will note. Like,
I have a blackboard, know. Actually. It's not like a chalkboard, it's like a whiteboard, but it's black. But I don't use it that much. It's not a racist thing or anything like that. But anyway, so I've tried to get in the habit recently of...
You are suspicious of it though.
Yeah, I don't trust it. But
I don't trust what I do on that blackboard.
I've tried to get in the habit recently, at least on like, so you know, during the week, I'm not home during the day. I have a day job or whatever. But a lot of times when I come home, I have certain tasks I need to get done for my side businesses and things, that, you know, whatever I have going on. So during the week, a lot of times I don't have time to go in my office and write down what I need to do, things like that. But on the weekend, I've been trying to, on Sunday, like write down a list of what I need to get done that day. And a lot of times, like we've talked about before, a lot of times it's just like little simple, small tasks that I'm just not doing. So I've been trying to get in the habit of writing on my whiteboard and remembering and trying to get those things done. And I don't know. I think I don't know the best way to form a habit, but I feel like trying to remind myself to do that is tough. And when I've actually done it, I feel better. So I think one thing I have done is I try and think back, okay, like, so last weekend, last Sunday, what did I get accomplished? Or yesterday, what did I get accomplished? And today, what do I need to accomplish? And then by looking back, when I've done what I should have done, it makes me feel better, and then it kind of motivates me to continue forward. So that's kind of how I try and improve my habit.
Crossing stuff off lists feels good.
Yeah.
But making that list is not. That's the boring part. It's sitting down like, oh, okay, what do I need to do, you know?
Well, so I've gotten in the habit of where, you know, so my alarm goes off at 6:30. I get up, I turn off my alarm, I lay back down.
That's bad.
But what I do sometimes, I'll lay down and I'll start trying to think through what I need to get done that day. And then, you know, I should, in 15 minutes, I should, like, get up and then start doing whatever it is. Sometimes I go back to sleep and then don't wake up till 7. That's a different problem. But the goal is that I would then, you know, I think through what I need to get done. Because, again, like we talked about, rushing into activity, rushing into the Photoshop when you need to design something or rushing into whatever isn't always a good idea. So I try and stop and think through what I need to do and then say, okay, there's my plan. Let's go do it. Or sometimes I'll think about it in the shower. But that helps me a lot, I think. But the bad thing is that a lot of times during the day, things come up and I just don't do what I need to do. Or, you know, I'm sitting down at work or at home and, you know, I'm watching something on Netflix or whatever, and then it's easy to just say, I'll do that later, and then just put off the things I said I was going to get done.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll completely relate, but I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about it, like the way you start your day. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one thing that I do have, I've created a habit for in the morning. When I first thing when I wake up, the alarm goes off or whatever. Well, it's not first thing. That's a lie. I was trying to do it first thing when the alarm goes off. But I don't really notice my alarm because I've kind of gotten used to waking up at 5:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. But to get out of bed, I drink some water. Like a big, like half a bottle of water I'll drink. Mm-hmm. And I mean, which actually wakes you up. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you know, gives me, if I do that, then it will give me the energy to get up out of bed. Because otherwise, you know, you're just going to like, I don't want to get up. But if you drink that, you're like, oh, okay, now I need to get up. And you may have to go to the bathroom because you did that, but either way, you got to get up.
Yeah.
And it's good for you to drink all the water, but it does really wake up your body when you do that. But, I mean, I was listening to this podcast and they were talking about things that you do in the morning. Like a lot of people, they reach for their phone first. Mm-hmm. Which is a, you know, while you may think that's what you want to do first thing in the morning, it's actually not what you want to do in first thing in the morning because you're doing a lot of you're taking in things, you're checking your email, you're checking who, you know, checking your DMs, you know, whatever else. Mm-hmm. But you're looking for input from anything. You didn't spend any time in organizing your own thoughts in your own brain when you do that. Mm-hmm. You're immediately, you know, looking for input, basically.
Well, it's kind of like you're looking for things to distract you from whatever or from the planning that you need to do. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, you know, if I look at my phone, generally it's like I'm bored. Let's see what's on Instagram. Let's see what's going on Facebook. It's not like I needed to look at my phone. You know?
No.
Sometimes sometimes the first thing I'll do, you know, I'll get up. And then I purposely plug in my phone where I have to get up to get to it. Because if I plugged it in right by my bed, when the alarm goes off, I would just turn it off and go back to sleep. But I purposely put it where I have to get up. So I get up, and a lot of times I'll look at it just to say, oh, okay, I got some junk mail or whatever. I'll see what emails came in, like just on my front, without unlocking the phone, I can see, hey, you got an email. Hey, something happened, the thing I was bidding on eBay, I won, or whatever. I can see that on the home screen without ever unlocking the phone. And I just put the phone down and keep it moving. But, sometimes it can be tempting to unlock the phone and then spend, you know, who knows how long just sitting there looking at what happened, reading emails and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because you could, you could look at your phone just to make sure there's no emergencies or something like that real quick. You know, nobody texted you overnight or whatever. But looking at it like at social networks and stuff like that, I think that, I mean, I do that sometimes just because it's a way to keep me from falling back asleep while I decide that I want to get up.
Yeah, but you might as well be sleepy if you're just looking at social media.
Yeah, but if I go to sleep, then I'm going to wake up later.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at social media, at least I'm awake, and I could get up at any moment if I wanted to. But it's not the way I would ideally start my morning, because bad things that happen in the world, whatever crazy thing your president said, you know, it'll wait until you get to that. I mean, maybe it'd be helpful to find ways to make, you know, the morning like a positive, you know, experience for you. It's not just, oh, getting out of bed. It's maybe, you know, it's like you're doing something for yourself first thing in the morning.
Well, that's kind of in line with what I was saying earlier, is like, I don't look at my phone much, because then, so I need to, when I first get up, I need to figure out what I need to do that day without worrying about what someone else may want me to do or any new tasks. So let's say, like, you know, yesterday I was supposed to do items A, B, and C, and I only did B because whatever happened. So when I wake up today, I can remember I didn't do A and C. So when I wake up, I can say, okay, today I want to get A and C done, and I need to do D and E or whatever. So then I can go take my shower, I can eat my breakfast, get ready to go. And then maybe on the way to work, or once I get to work, or whenever, later on, after I've prepared myself for the day and made a plan, then I can look at my phone and see, okay, what's new? What else is going on today that I need to do? Because if I start off with whatever is new, like, it's like being a firefighter almost, or kind of like everything's an emergency. So as soon as I get an email about something, I'm like, oh, I need to do this now. No. And then that stuff I didn't do yesterday, I'll never get to. So I need to finish up what I didn't do yesterday, as well as whatever I think is important for today. And then anything new that came in gets prioritized behind that. Otherwise, I'll never make progress.
Yeah. That sounds complicated, but...
Well, you see what I'm saying? Like, I feel like if I never take care of what happened, what I needed to do yesterday, and I'm just reacting to what happened today, then it's hard to move forward. This is just like little stuff. Like, okay, last week I was supposed to drop some stuff off at the thrift store. I never did it because I forgot to put it in my car, and I kept putting it off because I said, oh, there's more... some more clothes I need to get rid of. Let me find them and put them in the bag so I can take. So I just kept putting it off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday and Friday, I was out of town. The store, I didn't want to go today because I have to pass by there anyway on tomorrow. So it just keeps putting it off. So it's like, it's like one of those things that's lingering in the back of your head. Like, I need to do this. And I'm like, all right, I just need to get this done. But if I'm spending all my time tomorrow worrying about whatever else, then I won't get that done. So... I don't know. That's just the way it works for me.
Well, I mean, some of those things, it's like, I guess it's like a triage type thing. You got to like prioritize what's important. What can you take care of right now?
Well, yeah, if it was, maybe. Yeah. That's something I learned when I had kids. I think I learned it a little bit. When you have kids, you learn it a lot, because you can't do everything because you've got to constantly go check on your kids or whatever. Your kids got to be taken somewhere or whatever. So your time is limited. So you got to say, okay, what can I address now? And so on the mornings when I do wake up at 6:30 and get out of bed, like, I don't need to leave for work. I can be ready to leave by 7. If I leave by 7, I'll be at work mad early, so I don't do that. But that gives me, I have maybe 30 minutes to play with there in the morning, and then I have time to say, okay, is there anything from yesterday that I didn't do that I can take care of this morning? Okay, let me do that. If not, if there's nothing I can take care of because, you know, companies aren't open yet or whatever, then... all right, let me check my email. Let me see if there's anything new that came in that I can take care of right quick to start off on a good foot. Because I hate just, like, putting things off and leaving. Like, it just piles up. I feel like, you know, you're being chased by this long list of stuff you didn't do.
Yeah. No, I mean, and that happens to me. And then when it, you know, it piles up, even if it's a list of little small things, it starts overwhelming you, because it'll be a bunch of small things, maybe one or two big things. And I mean, because a lot of times the things, I mean, you could knock out the whole list in about like an hour a lot of times if you just like knocked them out, sat down and did that. I mean, and that's one habit I'm trying to form. It's like, okay, no, actually just go in and do it. Don't, you know, like I did something today that I've been putting off for days and it took me like 30 minutes. It's like, why did I, why? Yep. It's not, it doesn't have to take that long. Just knock it out. I feel better about it. I don't feel like somebody's waiting on me for something. It's just little things that I can just, you know, take care of. I mean,
today I wrote three things on my whiteboard that I needed to do, and within like 20 minutes I had taken care of all of them. And they're just like little things I need to do, but I just hadn't done them. So I was like, all right, let me get it done. I did two of them at the same time because I needed to exercise. So I did my exercises I needed to do. I emailed somebody and I invoiced somebody or something. It was just like minor stuff that didn't take long, but I just put it off. And I know if I hadn't written that down, that's the crazy thing, like about like the habit of writing things down and crossing things off. If I hadn't written them down, they probably wouldn't be done.
That's the weird thing is, before I started the day job I'm at now, I feel like I was getting into a rhythm of, you know, really, you know, tackling like, okay, being organized, being on top of my stuff, getting stuff done and stuff like that, because I was in control of my time. I could, you know, do what I wanted, but I was going to make my own list and knocking stuff out. But, you know, you start a job and then like a lot of your time is gone, or is, you know, you have to dedicate it to something else. And things fall by the wayside, especially if you're also not worried about getting money from these other things. Mm-hmm. Really, it's like, oh yeah, $100, yeah, I'll get to it. Mm-hmm. You know, which, you know, before it was like, no, I need that right now. I'm going to do it right now. Because do you need that today? Because I can do it today because I want that $100 today. You know, and it was, you know, which is, you know, not always a great thing because you're rushing everything. You're, you know, doing everything, but on the other hand, I was starting to form that habit of knock stuff out, get to it. You know, I was getting up, getting to it, and doing things. I mean, now it's been a, you know, things like, okay, well, I have to make sure I have time to do this kind of stuff, especially if this stuff doesn't feel very high priority to me anymore because of the money associated with it. but it isn't, you know, great for the client, but it's something that you have to, you know, to be honest, it's something you have to think about, and it's like, yeah, trying to find that new rhythm so I can recreate those habits, because I'm not, you know, like I have a whiteboard above my computer at home, but I don't sit at my computer at home that often, honestly. Yeah. Not nearly as much as I used to. I was here all day, every day, you know, so I'm looking at it, but now I'm looking at it now, literally sitting there looking at it. It's like, oh yeah, I forgot about that thing that I wrote on my whiteboard that wasn't a high priority, but you know, it's like this, the same stuff is up there because I never got around to it. And then, you know, it can be challenging, especially when life changes, when you're, you know, start getting into a habit, into a rhythm of things, you know. Even, I mean, you know, your life could change positively, and it could throw off a rhythm that you had before. Because even, you know, going to the gym as often, I wasn't doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I need to adjust that. So I do push-ups in the bathroom on the sink now. Because I don't have the time to go as much through the week. So it's like, well, this is what I'm going to do every time I go to the bathroom. I'm going to do some push-ups.
So we talked about that a while back. And I thought it was funny. But actually, I went to the bathroom one time. And because I'll get sleepy or just distracted at work. So I went to the bathroom. And then I didn't do push-ups, but I tried like just stretching and doing some exercise, some, you know, physical movement, and it actually
kind of helped me.
It helped me wake up and kind of refocus on what I need to be doing. But what I wanted to talk about was like, what would you say are some good habits for, as you know, designers, developers, web designers, whatever, to have? What are some good habits that you would say are important to have? One that I'll say that we've talked about kind of, you know, here and there, are talked adjacent to a lot this episode, was like time management, in terms of using your time so that in the most effective way, so you're not spending a large amount of time, like we talked about, wasting time in Photoshop when you should be sketching or, you know, planning out your design and stuff like that. Also not wasting a bunch of time, you know, sitting around staring at social media when you need to be doing stuff like that. So I think time management, whatever that is, because that's a vague way to describe it, but like just developing a habit of being conscious of your time and how you use it is very important, especially if you're doing freelance work, because then it'll help you bill and get money more effectively, because you won't just be like, oh, that took me 2 hours. when it really took you like 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, when you're freelancing, it's easy. Yeah, it's really enforced because it's like time is money, literally. If you're not, then yeah, you can fall into just looking at Amazon for shoes you don't need. Speaking,
this is not from personal experience.
No, that's about a friend. It's about a friend. but yeah, I mean, so I mean, it's kind of like what I was talking about that story before. It's like if what you need is every once in a while you need some time to do something else to take your mind off of it, then yeah, maybe it's getting up and walking around so that way you're just not on social media, you know, looking at nonsense for no reason. Yeah. You know, maybe it's, you know, okay, well, you do want to check social media every once in a while, so give yourself a thing. It's like, okay, once an hour if I need it to, I mean, that may be a little aggressive, but you know, if you feel like you need to check it, then okay, once an hour go check it.
So what's another good habit you would say
to have? I would say find a way to make lists that works for you. It's not going to be the same for everybody. It's not going to, you know, you don't have to be super like strict about it, but you have to find something that works for you. Some kind of note taking thing that, even if it's, you know, not, you know, really, you know, detailed notes and all this kind of stuff, but something that helps you, so you, at least you can organize your thoughts. That way it doesn't interrupt your creative process because you forgot to do something and now you got to go run and do something else. At least that way you're somewhat organized. I mean, and there's ways to take quick notes that even if nobody else understands it, if you understand it and it, you can do it really quick just so you have a note and you're not breaking up your process, then do that. You know, find something that works and just do that and just try to get in. I mean, it can be once again, you know, I mean, I hate to, you know, I wouldn't say make a reminder for everything like that, but, you know, once an hour, try to be like, okay, let me make sure once I've done this thing, maybe, you know, if I need to take any of those, go in and write it down real quick. Which, I don't know, honestly, it's a weird thing for me. No matter how many monitors you have, you'll feel like you don't have enough space to, like, okay, now I got to open this tab up again so that I can put this here and, you know. Even if you have 3 monitors, it still can be a thing that's like, oh, I gotta write lists. But I mean, I don't know, find a way to do it.
A piece of paper works best for me, but it doesn't follow me around like my phone does. So I'd say another habit I think is important, I just forgot what it was. I think you need to get in the habit of learning and learning how to learn effectively. That's a lot, but I think just get in the habit of learning, because, you know, like we know, technology changes quickly. Everything changes quickly. New things are coming out all the time. So if you're in the habit of learning, then it won't be such a chore when you do need to learn and change and adjust to, you know, new things that are available. Because, you know, like those people that are always upset and frustrated when things change or new technology changes or whatever, it's because they're not in the habit of learning. And if, you know, as a, like, I think that applies to, like, young people, like, because, you know, like, younger people, at least, when new things come out, they're like, okay, yeah, it's just different. Okay, I know how to do it. Okay, let's go. Whereas, like, you know, that whole saying, oh, we can't teach an old dog new tricks, it's because the old dog stopped learning.
Yeah, they get too involved in their habits that they can't modify them. You know, that's why you have racists.
Yeah.
Or at least, well, maybe not racist, but at least prejudice, because people don't.
It's easier to use the stereotype than start with the blank slate.
Yeah.
So that's one. As a designer, I would say it's good to always explore. And like, because I know in our last episode, we talked about finding design inspiration in like strange places and stuff like that. So I think that's another important habit to have, is just to set aside time. It goes back to time management too. To set aside time periodically to just explore and look for new places of inspiration and new experiences, new things, so that you have a fresh perspective and you're not always, you know, just mimicking something you saw or mimicking the same style that you know will work over and over and over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, yeah, like you said, it goes back to time management, trying to set aside some time that you can do that, and maybe you doing that takes the place of you know, some other habit that you have of checking social media or something like that. It's like, okay, well, let me go check this. Let me go look at this, you know, instead. Something that, you know, because a lot of times, I know for me, I think part of the reason why I go run and get snacks from the kitchen or something like that at work is not because I want a snack. Because I've said that many times. I walk in there, I'm like, I don't really want any of this stuff, but I'll go grab something anyway. But a lot of times what I actually need is just some kind of, you know, mental stimulation, just something different, just to get my brain thing. I just need that. And you got to find, I think the important thing is to find out what you're missing, what you really need, like I talked about before.
Yeah, understand the motivation behind your habit.
Yeah, because just saying like, oh, you should change this habit, and oh, you should change this habit. It's like, yeah, but how? How do you change that? Like, what's the root of it? Mm-hmm. You know, what, you know? Because it's easy to say, and it's easy to be like, okay, well, you know, New Year's resolution, I'm going to do this. This year I'm going to be more organized. No, you're not. it's not. You may be organized for like a week, but you haven't addressed the root of it, so you're not going to be able to maintain it, or it'll be a struggle for you to, you know, create that habit because you're not actually addressing it. It's hard to say exactly how to do that. I mean, I don't know. It depends on the person, what is triggering their, you know, whatever their habits are, or, you know, whatever they picked up, or whatever is going to work to change it.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be different for different people.
Yep. So that's, I think those are the core. I mean, like, some of these habits, they may seem like they have nothing to do specifically with design, but I think they're still important, and they'll probably help you no matter what you're doing in terms of trying to, you know, be more effective and get things accomplished. And also, I think, okay, one other thing, another habit is, it's part of time management too, is just take a break. Get in the habit of taking a break.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's easy to get in the habit of being a workaholic person or whatever, or just, you know, like getting in the habit of working. Because I've definitely been in the situation where I'd come home from my day job and then sit, you know, maybe say hi to the family or whatever, and then sit back down at the computer and work until time to go to sleep. And yeah, I was enjoying what I was doing, but then you got to take a break. You also got to enjoy what your work is bringing to you. So take some time to spend that money, or, you know, take a vacation, or do something else. It'll all help you.
Yeah. One thing I would say, when I was, just to, you know, wrap up what I was saying before about the, you know, targeting the habit or whatever, I'd say, like, when you want, you know, when everybody wants to improve their habits and everything, but I would say before you come out with this grand scheme of what you're going to do, your, you know, 60-day plan to change this habit or whatever, take some time to actually, you know, sit down, identify your habits, and then take some time to actually think about why, you know, where they're coming from before you make your six, you sign up for your 100-day push-up challenge or whatever, you know, like, figure out why you need to do that, why you want to do this, and why this habit isn't good for you, or what, you know, what you're craving in life that made you form this habit.
Yeah, I've definitely seen people just switch addictions.
Yeah, and that doesn't, you know, that's not good. I mean, you're just going to replace one for another, and then you still have that same problem. You haven't addressed, like, what really, you know. I mean, because there are things that you can be addicted to, or at least, you know, replace one thing with a positive thing that, I mean, you know, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, let's go back to just saying all things in moderation, including moderation. Because you could be explosively fat.
Yeah.
And then you switch to being all fitness, and then you're all roided out, and you're not really that much better.
Explosively?
Yeah, explosively fat is basically when you're explosively fat. I can't think of another way to describe it.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, but that's all right. I mean, because, like, it's one of those things you could easily look at. It's like, well, yeah, but they're, you know, they're healthy now. It's like, well, you know, they may look healthy, but I don't know what's going on in their mind, you know? I'm not saying they should start working out, but, you know, why are they doing that?
Why are
what's
they
driving
the gym
them
all the time?
Yeah, because it's still an addiction. I mean, is this negatively affecting the rest of their life? Yeah. I mean, because forming a habit can definitely positively impact you, but you know, it all depends.
Like old folks pissing.
And on that note, got our Kanye reference in, and I think that.
Well, yeah. Thanks everyone for tuning in again. We're gonna try and form the habit of coming out with episodes on a predictable schedule. hope everyone enjoyed
Thanksgiving. Why have we not done that?
And the holidays and everything. We are currently having a sale on shirts and everything on our Threadless shop. So if you go to alienmuffin.threadless.com, we have shirts and hoodies and all kinds of, you know, stuff you can buy, make great Christmas gifts, and they're on sale, so you can save some money. And I think also they're having free shipping right now if you spend over $45. And there's no code or anything needed, I don't think. So definitely check that out. Tune in again whenever we launch our next episode.
We're going to change that. We're going to address why we don't do it. I think I know why we don't do it consistently, but we're going to address why we don't do it consistently. Yeah.
We need to break that habit.
Yeah. I'm breaking a habit. All right. I've seen it all. Oh, that's,
wow. I have that CD somewhere.
RIP. crap. I can't even say RIP because I forgot his name. What was his name? Chester?
I don't know. I never. He was the guy with the weird voice from that one group.
Yeah, the screamer from Linkin Park. I forgot his name. That's pretty bad. But RIP to him.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Check us out on social media at Alien Muffin, SoundCloud, IC Pixels, iTunes, TuneIn, everywhere else. Tell a friend about the podcast, listen to the old episodes, and have a great week.
Bye.